Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Genesis with Pastor Dave. Oswald Chambers once said, "Christian perfection isn't predicated on performance, but on the perfection of a relationship." In today's study, Pastor Dave will be taking us through Genesis chapter 26, starting in verse 17, ending in chapter 27, verse 23. Where he'll be talking about how our Christian walks are not about being perfect. It is, though, about being close to Jesus, because he is the author and the finisher of our faith. Now let's pick up with Pastor Dave in Genesis chapter 26, verse 17.
She spake unto Jacob, her son. You notice the favoritism here. Rebekah's son is Jacob, Isaac's son, is Esau. She said, "Behold, I have heard your father speak unto Esau, your brother. And he said, bring me venison, verse 7, and make me savory meat, that I may eat and that I may bless thee before the Lord before my death. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice according to that which I command thee. Go now to the flock, verse 9, and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for thy father, such as he loves. And you bring it to your dad, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death." And in verse 11, Jacob, he says to Rebekah, his mother, "Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man." Now, I feel it necessary to tell you this at this point. Jacob is 77 years old. When you're 77 years old, guys, it's time, you know, where you don't necessarily listen to your mom anymore and you listen to the Lord. Here's this kid, this guy, this old man. He's a mama's boy. His mom is like, "Listen, you gotta do this thing. You gotta go and you gotta bring this stew to your dad, because if you don't beat your brother to it, you're gonna miss out on the blessing. And I heard the voice of God. You're the one who's supposed to get the blessing." How many times are we in that situation? "God needs my help. God, here I am to the rescue. I'm here to help you. I can see you're distraught here, Lord. We have a mess on our hands. I know you need my help here, so I'm going to jump right into this, and I'm going to fix this, Lord, because you're not doing what needs to be done quick enough. And Lord, I know it's you, because you already spoke to me and showed me that this is what you want to do, and since somebody's trying to get in the way, I have to react." How many times do we react to things? How many times do we do things hastily because we don't sense that God is moving fast enough? And we're not patient. We don't want to wait and see how he's going to work it out. And instead of resting in the promises that he has made, we say, we have to get involved. And we roll up our sleeves and we put our hands in the mix and we make a mess. I think, honestly, that Rebekah's intentions in her own mind, and this is the problem with our own minds and our own hearts, when people come to me and they say, "Oh, in my own mind, in my own heart, I never meant to do this thing." Well, that's the problem. You can't go by what's in your own mind and your own heart. You can't do that. You can't trust in your own mind and in your own heart. I think Rebekah, honestly, was sincere. I think her thing was like, this is really the chosen one. This is the son. This is the twin that is supposed to be used to bring the Messiah into the world. I have to do something quick. God is running out of time. And she gets involved in Jacob, that mama's boy at 77 years old. He says, "Mommy, but Esau is a hairy man. I'm a smooth man. My father," verse 12, "peradventure will feel me. And listen, I shall seem to him as a deceiver." No, Jacob, you're not going to seem to him as a deceiver. You are a deceiver. Why aren't we honest with ourselves? When we go before the Lord and we're supposed to repent and we're supposed to spend this time with him and get right and get honest. I mean, God's awesome. He won't in any way cast anyone out that comes to him. Whosoever shall come to him, he'll receive. All he's asking for is honesty. But even when we come to God, we come to him and we're like, well, God, I kind of, you know, blew it in this area. I kind of did this thing, Lord. You know, I'm kind of falling short. And say, no, you are falling short. You did do this thing. You are in blatant sin. You are guilty of these things. Just say it. Call a spade a spade. I've experienced the blessings of God in doing that. That you just come to God. God, I am a nasty scumbag, dirtbag, Lord. That I am an adulterer. I am a thief. I am a murderer, Lord. I killed my boss today in my thoughts. I'm guilty. I'm not as one of these people. I'm not seeming to be like these types of people. I am that. I'm a sinner, God, in desperate need. That's where the healing begins. You want healing in your life tonight, get honest with God. You want healing in your life tonight. You want revival in your life tonight. You want victory in your life tonight. Get honest with your Lord. Tell him the truth. He's not blown away. He's not shocked by how vile you are. Listen to this. Let me have your attention for a few more minutes and I'll wrap it up. When Jesus Christ was on the cross of Calvary and he experienced the weight of the sin of the world upon him, you think that your sin presently right now that you singularly are in is going to be heavier than the sin of the world? He experienced the sin of the most vile, wicked people. Those people such as the Nazis, those people such as Hitler, those people that have been murderers, that have killed innocent babies, people who have raped and molested children. I mean, you talk about some vile, wicked sin. You think that your singular sin is more heavy than the sin of the whole entire world. There's no way that you can think that. There's no way that you can possibly make that argument. God received the sin of the world upon him. He took on the sin of the world completely in its entirety upon him. You can't impress God by how sinful you are. You can't come to God and stump him and find him in a place of, oh my goodness, Holy Spirit and Father, what are we going to do? I've never experienced a sinner like this before. And here's the reason why. Because every sin is on the same playing field with God. There is no greater sin. The only sin that can't be forgiven, as I've said so many times, is the sin of never repenting. You understand? That's the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, is never repenting. And if you're concerned about that sin, then you haven't gone there yet. Because once you get there, your heart is so hard that you won't even care if you blaspheme the Spirit of God. Because you're that numb to his conviction. If you're here tonight, and you're guilty, and you know you're guilty, and you feel guilty, and you feel dirty, and you're anxious to repent, you're in a great place. That means the Spirit of God is actively at work in your life. If you're here tonight, and you're not paying attention to me, and you're falling asleep, and you're daydreaming, and you could care less about repentance, you don't want to hear about this. This church is heavy, this church is condemning, this church is that, and you're trying to justify yourself, you are in danger. You're in danger because your heart is hardened. It's callous to the conviction of the Spirit of God. Lord, it doesn't seem to me that I'm like this. I am like this. I'm a wretch. Lord, I've blown it. Lord, it doesn't seem to me that I might have a temper. I do have a temper, Lord. Calling it like it is. But it's amazing that how weak even the best of men are when they're faced with temptation. Seems to me, Lord, that Dad's going to think I'm a deceiver, verse 12. And I shall bring a curse upon me, and I'm not going to get a blessing. Remember, the blessing in this whole thing represents the material. The birthright represents the spiritual. Jacob, this man that's going to eventually be called Israel, this nation that Jesus Christ is going to come from, is worried about the material. I'm not going to get the blessing, Lord. I'm not going to get the blessing on this side of eternity. How many times is our repentance motivated by the blessing for this side of eternity? I don't know if you guys are guilty for that, but I am. I'm going to be honest with you guys. If I'm honest with the Lord, I could be honest with you. There's so many times where I repent for the sake of the blessing on this side of eternity. There's so many times where when I'm repenting of things, God's like, you're not even really sorry. You're just saying sorry because you don't want the consequences, or you do want better consequences. It's not even serious. You're not even really sorry. The Lord shows me that. Then I have to repent for how I repented. You just keep repenting. You're in a constant state of repenting. Repenting is what keeps me in communion with the Lord. Isn't that sad? It's the truth, though. Most of my prayer life is just repenting. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have said that. Oh, Lord, I shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have touched that. Shouldn't have gone there. Shouldn't have been there. Shouldn't have been involved with this. Shouldn't have done this. Shouldn't have watched this. Whatever it is. Oh, Lord, forgive me. Oh, Lord, forgive me. And Lord, plead that blood of Jesus. Lord, plead that blood. Please wash me. Please cleanse me. And not that it's cheap blood, not that it's cheap grace. I understand what it costs. It's just that I'm a wretch. And I have to go before him so that I can keep that communion. Lord, my dad, he's going to curse me. I can get the blessing. His mother says in verse 13, I got a plan. Upon me be the curse, my son. Only obey my voice and go fetch me them. And so he went and he fetched and he brought them to his mother, and his mother made savory meat, verse 14, such as his father loved. Verse 15, and Rebekah took goodly raiment of her eldest son Esau, which were with her in the house, and she put them upon Jacob, her younger son. And she put the skins of the kids of the goats upon his hands, which literally means up to his elbows. She takes this fur, she takes it and she puts it from the fingertips all the way up to his elbows and upon the smooth of his neck. And she gave the savory meat and the bread which she had prepared into the hand of her son Jacob. They're scheming, they're plotting, they're planning. And in verse 19, he came unto his father and he said, Dad. And he said, Here I am. Who are you, my son? And Jacob says in verse 19, now get ready. In one sentence, he's going to tell four lies. Verse 19, here we go. Number one, he says, I am Esau. Number two, he says, you're firstborn. Number three, he says, I have done according as you have badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat, number four, of my venison, so that your soul may bless me. You see, this is very important that we understand, because before he tells these lies to his father, he had to lie to himself. Before he first tells these lies to somebody else, he had to first lie to himself, and so it is with every believer before they cross the line of transgression. Before you sin, there has to be this moment in your life, and it might be a quick moment, or it might be something that's premeditated for a long time, but God is working in you, and there's this tear. Should I or shouldn't I? Should I or shouldn't I? And you're torn, you're torn, you're torn, and God is telling you not to. You have to come to this place so that you can reconcile within yourself to cross over that line where you lie to yourself and you choose to believe it. That's always the case. I can't tell you how many times where marriages have been broken up or somebody has acted out and done something that they shouldn't do, and it always goes back to until they're completely repented of some lie that they told themselves that they believe to justify their means. It always goes back to some deception in their own life so that they can say, well, if so-and-so didn't do this to me, they made me do this. If they would have just loved me more, if I would have gotten this or that from them or been in this situation, I would have never acted out in this way. But because that happened, I had to do what I had to do. You always have to lie to yourself before you lie to others. And every other sin is second to lying to self. Ourselves. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who can save me, right? Who can save me from this body of death? So deceitful, we're so dishonest. He says this blatant lie to his dad, and Isaac says him in verse 20, how is it that you have found it so quickly, my son? He says that the Lord thy God brought it to me. Now he's bringing God into his sin. Now he's involving God into his sin. I can't tell you how many times I've heard this one, where somebody will come in and they blame God for the things they did. Remember when Saul disobeyed the Lord with the Amalekites and there was a beating of sheep and there was this stuff going on and Samuel's like, hey, what's going on here? You know, you were told to wipe them all out in their entirety. The king, he's still around. What's going on? Why did you do this? Well, hey, there's these excuses that were made. Or when Saul sacrificed because he didn't wait for Samuel, you know, why did you do this thing? Well, because of the people, because of you were late. There's all these excuses. There's all these lies that go on and these things that are just, you know, bringing God into the mix. It's God's fault. God did this thing to me. He brings God into his sin and he takes God's name in vain. Sometimes we think that God's name in vain is only when somebody curses with it. It's not just when we curse. It's when we bring him into a situation that he has no place in. God, you know, he helped me out here. Isaac said to Jacob, verse 21, a few more verses. He says, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether you be my very son Esau or not. When anyone relies upon feelings as the evidence of faith, it's been said that he will be doomed to disappointment, just as Isaac was. Whenever anyone relies upon feelings as the evidence of faith, he will be doomed to disappointment just as Isaac was. He says, come here and let me feel you. He's relying on his senses. In Jacob, verse 22, he went near unto Isaac, his father, and he felt him. And he said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but your hands are the hands of Esau. You see, what's going on here is that Isaac has conviction. There's a conviction going on. Hang on a minute. I have a check in my spirit. You don't sound like who you say that you are. But what he does here, this is important for us to understand because you and I are facing these situations every single day. What he does here is he chooses to ignore and not pay attention to the conviction of the Spirit of God. Here's why. Because he wants to eat. All he wants to do is eat in this chapter. He wants a savory meat. He wants this venison that he sent Esau out for, so he thought. And that's all he cares about. That's how the flesh is. It's like, listen, I don't really care about this conviction right now. I don't really care, Spirit of God, what you have to say right now. I don't care who this sin is going to affect right now. I don't care about the repercussions right now. I don't care about the consequences right now. That's why Tozer had it so right, and he was so profound when he said, sin makes you stupid. Because you just stop thinking all of a sudden, and you just act like somebody who has, you act stupid. And that's the only way I can say it right now. You just act stupid. And you don't think about anything else. You don't think about tomorrow. You don't think about the people in your life that's going to affect. You just think about the there and now and what you want. What's going to satisfy you at that very present moment because you're hungry. And the flesh is a pig. The flesh is an absolute glutton. It will never stop eating if you don't stop it yourself and crucify it. I will keep demanding more. I want more. I want more. I want more. Wait a minute. You don't sound like Jacob. Check. Right? The rooster's crowing. Check. God's saying, you know, there's something going on here. Pay attention. Ah, forget that. You feel like him. You must be him. I want to eat. Where's my stew? Oh, my goodness. Do you not see yourself in this character? Can you not identify with Jacob, a heel catcher, somebody who just wants what they want when they want it? It's kind of silly, but I'm getting the end of the night here, so I guess I'm getting a little silly and tired. I've been up watching the Yankees, so I'm not getting a lot of sleep, so I'm definitely a little, I'm goofy. So I remember this show, Family Matters. How many of you guys used to watch Family Matters? Okay. Well, you guys remember that one cheer? I'm not going to do a cheer. It was with Laura Winslow, and you guys remember that one cheer that they do, it's hard to, like, say it without cheering. I'm certainly not going to cheer, but remember she goes, U-G-L-Y, you don't got no alibi, you ugly. Yeah, yeah, you ugly, right? It's just U-G-L-Y, see, yeah, I forget if I don't sing it. U-G-L-Y, you don't got no alibi, you ugly. U-G-L-Y, oh, no. Then she says, M-A-M-A, that's the way that you got that way, your mama, right? Your mama. You guys, if you didn't know it, it's a great song. You should start singing it. Yeah. Put some rhythm into it, though, and do a little dancing. It makes it a lot more fun. I'm not doing that tonight. I'm not that tired or goofy. But here's what I want to say about this. There's some great application from that song. U-G-L-Y is your flesh. It's ugly. And the way that you dig it that way is from your mama, but also your papa. And that's the way that you got that way, who you are outside of Christ. And probably, honestly, you guys laugh. This is probably the only part of my whole study that you'll remember. So this is very important here. That U-G-L-Y, that is your flesh. It is ugly. And the way that you got that way is you were born into sin. It's the way that you came out. And it is so ugly. You are so ugly in the flesh. I am so ugly in the flesh. And we are so wretched. And we have to come to that place of understanding that. That I am ugly, Lord, before you in and of myself. And that's why I rejoice. When we sing the songs we sang tonight, that's why I lift my hands. I'm clothed in the raiments of Jesus Christ. That I'm clothed in his righteousness. That I stand before my God tonight, not in and of myself. And this is where we'll stop. I don't stand here tonight, Lord, that I have something to offer you or I have something to bring you. You know, I love that one song we sing, what can I bring to the Lord? What can I offer to the Lord? There's nothing I can offer but myself. And what blows me away is that he says, I'll take it. I'll take it. I like it. I want it. That's what I came to this earth and died for. I paid the ultimate price for you. And then as I give him myself, he exchanges with me his clothing, his garments of righteousness. These white garments of righteousness, as you look in Revelation, remember God says beginning to end, there's no time with God. He sees us in our completed state. He sees us spotless, perfect in his Son before him. And that we have this access to the throne of God. It's amazing to me as I was praying with you tonight and I was looking at you in the very beginning as you were standing and holding each other. And I was seeing you guys gather together with me in the name of Christ and going before the throne of God. It amazes me. We can go before the throne of God. I mean, imagine if I had my cell phone up here tonight, which I do. Don't anybody try calling me. And all of a sudden, I was like, I'm going to call President Obama. You guys ready? Let's put him on speaker. You guys would be hushed. You'd be blown away. But what we don't think about many times is our prayers, that we can call God, the creator of the universe, that we have this ability to go before God because of Jesus Christ. We can be before him tonight and worship him. We can go before him tonight and open his holy word and actually study it and look at it as though we're somebody special because of Jesus Christ and his garments of righteousness that he clothes us in. We come to him tonight because of Jesus Christ. We see ourselves in Jacob, and we would be this exact same way, and we are this exact same way until we stop wrestling with God and we become Israel, governed by God. It is an amazing study. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up because I've run out of time. But read the rest of the chapter because I certainly stopped at an awkward spot. There's so much here. There's so much to glean from and to look at and to say, Lord, you know, thank you. I mean, that's what I do when I read the Bible. I just, God, thank you. Because I just see myself in these characters. I just see myself doing the same stupid things. I just see myself needing constantly his grace, constantly needing his mercy in my life. And what I find is just like with them, is when I go back to that old rugged cross, I experience it. That when I go back to that old rugged cross, man, and I get before the Lord, there's just this fellowship that's instantly restored. And if you're here tonight and that's what you need, I think we all do. I don't think it really matters who you are. I shouldn't even say if. We're all here tonight because we need to be refueled, amen? Mm-hmm. We're all here tonight because it's like in some way or another, we got dirty this week and we need a spiritual bath. In some way or another, whether it's just thoughts, things in our hearts, literally things we acted out upon, things we're ready to act out upon, whatever it would be tonight, God's just saying, hey, listen, here's what you do. Take your suitcase of garbage and drop it at my feet and go forward the rest of this week in my grace and peace. Isn't that beautiful?
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. We invite you to join us this coming Sunday at Calvary Chapel Westside. Our Sunday morning services are 9 and 11 a.m. We'd also love for you to refuel with us at our midweek study on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. Calvary Chapel Westside is located at 2407 Union Street in Spencerport, New York. If you'd like to know more about CC Westside, you can log on to our website at ccwestside.com. That's ccwestside.com. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and Vimeo, where you can access videos of Pastor Dave's teachings. If you'd like to contact us, simply give us a call. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. Again, that's 585-352-3150. Or send us an email. We would love to hear from you. Our email address is radio@ccwestside.com. That's radio@ccwestside.com. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. Luke 19:10 says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It is our prayer that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ. Let blood and water hit the ground.